Galatians chapter 6, verse number 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Verse number 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So I want to preach just for a few moments on this subject. It's due season. It's due season. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your sweet spirit. I thank you, Lord, for what we feel right now. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would move in this house as you already are. I pray, Lord God, because this is your church. These are your people. We are your sheep, and I am your vessel. So help me, Lord, to speak every word that is intended. I pray that my flesh will not get in the way. We'll forever give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. If you're ready to receive the word, come on, clap your hands unto the Lord one more time. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So Star City, how did we get here? How did we get to where we are? How do we get to this opportunity of more land, more building, more rooms, more space? How did we get to where we are? I can share a few things with you of how we got here, because over the last 3.5 years, we've done multiple things, one being family prayer. It was almost 4 years ago when we started family prayer, where we would come together as one on a Monday evening, and we would come together and pray and ask the Lord to help us and bless us, to give us direction, to help us to where we are led by Him and not by our own. We would come together and pray over one another and speak life and blessings into one another. Family prayer is a major component of how we got here. I remember one night in family prayer where those of you that were here will remember this, but we walked this entire building and anointed everything. We anointed every door. We anointed every window. We went upstairs and anointed Sunday school classrooms. We anointed offices. We anointed the carpet. We anointed the chairs. We anointed this platform. We anointed everything in this building. There wasn't an item left untouched that we did not anoint. It was like we took a moment and just rededicated this sanctuary unto the Lord. It is things like that that encourages me to know that even though here soon we're going to be exiting this building as a body, the anointing of God will not be exiting this building. Not just on that night, but years long before I even stepped into the pastoral role, there has been prayers and anointing that has been covered in this place from top to bottom, front to back. I'm telling you, the anointing is embedded in the walls of this church. It's embedded in the carpet that we are standing or sitting upon, our feet are touching right now. And it is everywhere. The door that you're leaning upon right now, Brother Davidson, the areas that we walked into, it has been anointed by God. I'm telling you, the anointing of God is here. And now that encourages me, because you may call me crazy, but it's not too far-fetched that a church that doesn't preach Jesus' name, baptism, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the repentance of sin and turning away from the world, they may not preach the same Acts 2:38 message, but the anointing of God that is in this place, I'm telling you, it just takes one prayer meeting for that anointing to fall upon people, and all of a sudden they believe in speaking in another tongue. They believe in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't take much for those things to happen. And I don't know about you, but me, I've been praying a prayer saying, Lord, we may step away from this corner, but Lord, you're able to give us this corner once again. And I'm not talking about us personally. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. I'm talking about where God gets the glory out of all things, where God receives all the praise of all things, because a place that once baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now revelation has hit their heart, and now they understand that there's no power in title, but you must be baptized in the name that's above every name. I'm telling you, am I still in a one God apostolic group of people? Am I still amongst the people that believe in the name of Jesus? And so that encourages me, because I know that the anointing of God is here. I seen a video that was sent to me where I don't know where it was. I'm sure I can find it later, but I believe it was in South Africa. Not sure where, but there was about 100 Trinitarians that were at, they attended an apostolic doctrinal seminar in South Africa, and 52 of those pastors were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what we must understand is that these things are happening everywhere. People are coming to the knowledge and the understanding that it is in the name of Jesus Christ that our sins are forgiven. These are things that I've been preaching long before I even arrived, and Lord, help me that I will continue to preach even as the Lord takes me out of here. People are learning and coming to this understanding all over the world. You mean to tell me that God can't do it right here in Lafayette, Indiana? It can happen right here in Lafayette, Indiana. I remember we went on multiple prayer walks. How many remember those prayer walks? And many of you went on prayer walks, and what were we claiming? We were claiming more territory. We were claiming more territory for God to bless us from the north, south, east, and the west. We walked on those things. I'm telling you, when you walked and when you were praying all those times we came together, it wasn't for naught. Because now as God is answering prayers that we prayed many months and years ago, that's why I'm thankful for the people of God that sacrificed their time to come to the house to pray. And so that is how we got to where we are, because people came to pray. People came sacrificing their time to walk in the community. That is how we got here. And it is important for us to understand that the way we are going to continue to move forward is that we must continue to have a mindset of prayer in our homes. We must have a mindset of prayer in our home, a mindset of sound doctrine in our homes, because it can't stop here at the church, but we must take what we learn and then put it in the home. Now, I'm going to go a little sidetrack here, but I'm going to come back here in a moment, because the Lord has really been dealing with me when it comes to the homes that we are living in and the homes that you and all dwell in. We must be very careful that we do not fall into a spirit and allow a spirit into our home of witchcraft. It is very important that we don't allow trickery to come into our home. We must pray against the spirit of witchcraft. We must come against that spirit so strong, meaning you cannot allow movies, you cannot allow games, you cannot allow things on devices to come into your home, because that spirit is strong, especially in this day. We cannot. The Bible lets us know that rebellion is as the spirit of witchcraft. When you see people in your home, children, loved ones, start acting rebellious, you better be careful with that. Because the Bible lets us know that rebellion is as witchcraft, and we must speak against that spirit. We must lay hands upon those in our home against that spirit, and don't allow anything in your home that even resembles that spirit. It is important, my friend, that you claim hold or take hold of that, and don't be afraid to call upon the name of Jesus, because at that name it must back up. And so we must attack that spirit. and go against that spirit. And so it is very important. Now, with that said, the scripture lets us know that there are two authors that are recognized in the scripture. There's two authors that are recognized in the scripture. Number one, the Bible says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And so that is the author. That is the one author that is recognized. The scripture also teaches us that Jesus, that our Lord God, our Savior, is not the author of confusion. So that lets us know that Jesus is the only author and finisher of our faith. And if we are confused in anything in our life, then that means Jesus is not the author. That means the devil is the author, because God is not the author of confusion. So it is so important that we understand that, because the devil wants to do everything he can to confuse us of what we believe and what we stand for. Why is this so important? Because as I stand here boldly in this platform proclaiming the word of God, there's going to be spiritual resistance. Whenever I preach the word of God, there's going to be spiritual resistance. The enemy does not like that we stand boldly and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. He doesn't like it at all. There's always going to be spiritual traffic whenever we begin to preach the name of Jesus Christ. Whenever you begin to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, no matter if it's here in the church, no matter if it's in your home, in your neighborhood, over your family, there's going to be spiritual activity that takes place, because he wants to hinder you and I from speaking the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the devils believe in one God. He says, if you believe in one God, you do well to believe in one God. The scripture says the devils also believe there's one God, and they tremble. So therefore, anyone that proclaims that there's only one God, the devil's always going to have some attention on those people. So never think it strange that when you stand firm and proclaim that there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and then all of a sudden you sense all of this activity happening in your home, in your life, all of a sudden it seems like you're being attacked from every which way. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed, because Jesus is with you and he will stand before you. Now, how do we know that? Because the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? The scripture also says that greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. I'm telling someone today that you ought to be less afraid of the enemy, because he's more afraid of you. And that, It's so important. It's so easy for us to be intimidated and afraid of things. But the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we don't have to be afraid of anything, knowing that it's not about us, but it's all about him. That's why Philippians 4:13 says that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So now it is important for us to understand that if we keep Jesus as the main focus, that he will take care of everything else. What do you mean by that, preacher? That just simply means that if God is for us, that means he will take care of our battles. But see, when you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, there will be threatenings. There will be spiritual activity. You can go read in the book of Acts, chapter number 4. In chapter number 3, this is when Peter and John were going up to the temple, and then they see this lame man. And Peter says, such as I have, Severin go have I none, but such as I have, give thy unto thee. He said, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He takes him by the right hand, lifts him up. Well, now everyone is attacking them, because now they see a man that is healed, and he's healed according to the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that they were being threatened by the people. But the scripture says that Peter and the rest of the apostles and all the believers begin to say, Lord, you see how they are threatening us. Now, Lord, give us boldness. Give us boldness that we can proclaim your name. The Bible says that where they were, they began to pray. And as they were praying, the ground was shaken where they were. And the scripture says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So now we come to a situation where Galatians says, let every man prove his own work. Why is it important for you and I to prove our own work? The scripture says that you don't have to depend on someone else's gratification, but that you can prove your own work, your own self, and be satisfied with what you have going on. Now, what's interesting here is that the word prove here is to examine, to test. And it says that we are to examine our own work because we cannot fall prey to having people be the approval of what we do. Because when you are looking for the approval of people in your life, you have just placed people's opinion as an idol in your life. Now you are looking to prove them, to show yourself approved unto them and not approved unto God. So now people's opinion are valued more than the word of God. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. Now I can magnify the Lord within myself. I don't have to wait on somebody else to tell me, you're doing a good job. I don't have to wait on somebody else to tell me, yes, you're doing the right thing. This is good. You're doing a good work. No, but I can just have my own time with the Lord, and the Lord can approve me all by myself. Ooh, hallelujah. Why are you even talking about this right now, preacher? Because it is important, my friend, that where God is taking you, because someone turned to your neighbor and say, it's due season. Mm-hmm. And see, where God is about to take you and what God is getting ready to do in your life, you cannot worry about other people's opinion. Because other people's opinion won't get you anywhere. And if all you think about is somebody else's opinion and approval, you will always be looking up. But the problem is that you're looking up to the wrong thing and the wrong person. You're looking up to the other person when the scripture says that we are to look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Somebody hearing me right now, because someone in here today, God is trying to elevate you to another level, but yet you're not going to be elevated because you're too worried about what somebody else thinks in your family. You're too worried about what somebody else thinks in your home. You're too worried about what your spouse or neighbor thinks about you, when God is saying, who cares about their opinion? Worry about my opinion. Because God is not going to take you where he wants to take you when you're trying to satisfy people. Can I preach this thing in here? You cannot satisfy people and please God at the same time. You have to please God and allow God to give you favor with people. Has anybody received favor and you didn't know where it came from? Okay, only about 30% of you have. None of you have had a door open for you, and you're like, how did that happen? Where did that come from? Where did this blessing come from? How did this take place? It's because you weren't trying to please people. You was trying to please him. Uh-huh. But you got to keep your eyes off of individuals, and you got to keep your eye on him. Stop trying to be a people pleaser with everybody and everyone around you. I'm telling you, the people that you're trying to please, they don't want to see you succeed anyway. They're just trying to keep you at a certain level so that you don't go higher than them. Somebody in here needs to recognize that God is about to elevate you to another level, and you got to stop looking at people as the people that you are pleasing. That's why I always have to encourage myself when I look at other people, other churches, and other pastors. I always have to remind myself, I can't compare my chapter 1 to their chapter 20. I can't be looking at other pastors saying, well, man, how can I have that? And how can I have this? And God just has to remind me and say, well, look at what I've blessed you with already. I'm about to shout in here all by myself. Look at what I've done with you already. Why are you trying to look and compare yourself to other people? Just thank God for what he's doing in your life right now. Is anybody thankful for what God has already done in your life? Do I have any thankful people? Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord and magnify him. Hallelujah. Can you give me verse number 9? I'm telling you, my friend, God is getting ready to take you to another level, and it's going to be based on your praise and your faith. We've got to learn, I have to learn how to magnify him for what he is doing right now. I said, I have to learn. Can we make it personal? I have to learn to give God praise for what he's doing right now. I know that we can be Americanized here. I know we can always want. It seems like when we get one thing, we're getting ready for the next thing. We don't even take 10 minutes just to say, you know what, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. I didn't even realize how good you were to me. Some of us need to do a little inventory check and realize where God has brought you from. I know you're not where you want to be, but be thankful for where God has brought you from. I can't even get to verse number 9 yet, because too often we are too critical on ourselves. We're critical on ourselves, thinking that we're, what are you trying to measure up to? Let me rephrase that. Who are you trying to measure up to? Who are you trying to prove in your life? There's someone that's put a roadblock in your life and you're trying to prove yourself to them. I don't know who it is, but you got to stop comparing yourself to other people. People do it all the time. They look at certain people in their age group. They look at certain people in their demographic. They look at certain people in their neighborhood. They look at certain people in their job. They look at certain people in certain positions, and we're always comparing ourselves to other people. When God didn't fill you with his spirit to compare yourself to other people. When God didn't give you favor just to compare yourself to other people. But let every man prove his own work. You know what that means? You know, if I can put that in Eddie Robinson terms, that's talking about enjoying the journey. Because too often we're looking at the destination and we're not even enjoying the journey. Because if you learn how to enjoy the journey, I promise you the destination will come a lot quicker. But too often, we're not enjoying the journey. We're not enjoying that every day I wake up is another opportunity for me to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. Can I take it just a little bit deeper? It's another opportunity to say, Lord, forgive me, because I know I haven't been living right. I know I haven't been doing right, but you didn't have to wake up this morning. I want you to know somebody didn't wake up this morning, but we have an opportunity to get it right. Let every man prove his own work. Verse number 4. And it says, and then shall he have rejoicing in who? Rejoicing in himself alone. I'm going to get to verse number 9 in a second. Just leave verse number 4. That means no one else has to come and pat you on the back. Well, I'm not preaching against pats on the back. I'll take about 10 of them after I get done preaching, okay? All right, I'll take 9 more, praise God. 9 more. Okay? I'm not preaching against pats on the back. I'm not preaching against, you know, loving and praising and encouraging one another. But however, if you're only doing this for, come on, do it again, babe. Oh, all right. Well, hallelujah. If I'm only doing it for that, then I'm going to become very disappointed when that doesn't happen. I'm going to be very disappointed, and I will have no rejoicing in myself alone. Where I'm always looking for somebody else just to tell me that I did a good job. I'm looking for everyone else's approval. I'm telling you what God wants to do and where he is taking us. We cannot look for other people's approval. But God will approve us all by himself. Because if I can tell this quick story, see, King David wasn't looking for anyone else's approval when he was just a little shepherd. When he was just a shepherd boy, he wasn't looking for nobody else's approval. He was just taking care of his sheep. But when God wanted to approve him, the Bible says that he was anointed in the midst of his brothers. So now everybody recognized that he's anointed of God. You don't have to seek after approval. When God approves you, he will approve you in front of everybody. So now let's go to verse number 9. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. Due season means opportune moment, at the right time or the right opportune moment. We shall reap if we faint not. Now the word faint there does not only mean not to give up, but the word faint also means to not be lazy. He says at the right opportune time, it's going to happen, but you can't get lazy. At the right moment, it's going to happen, but don't get lazy with it. Because sometimes we look at this verse only as not giving up. But I'm telling you, you can't get lazy when it comes to your deliverance. You can't get lazy when it comes to your miracle. You can't get lazy when it comes after the things that you want from God. You can't get lazy in those things. You have to have a heart and a desire to want more and more and more of him. So the text is telling us not to get lazy when it comes to the things of God. So my question today is for you, what do you need from God? It's a simple question. What do you need from God? If there's someone in here and you need deliverance or healing from the Lord, I want you to simply just lift your hand. If you need deliverance or healing from the Lord, just lift your hand. Come on, keep those hands up raised. Hands up raised. Those hands up raised. Keep them up real high. If you need healing or deliverance from God, keep it up right now. Okay, put your hands down very quickly, please. Those of you that, now, the word breakthrough is a very, it can be an umbrella word, but I'm talking about things that are happening in your spirit that you know you it has been troubling you for some time, and you have come to the point to where you feel like all hope is lost. Matter of fact, Martha, when she came to Jesus, she said, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. You feel like Jesus is absent in your life and in the moment where you need him the most. I'm talking, there's some brokenness. If you need God to bring that back together, to mend your spirit because of what's going on in your life, I want you to raise your hand. If that's you, come on. Got a couple people. All right? A couple people. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, put your hands down. Because here's what's about to happen, what I felt in the Holy Ghost just a few minutes ago, is that God not only is going to do what you want him to do, but he's going to expedite what you are looking for him to do. Why? Because it is due season. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. Due season is right opportune time. And I'm telling you that today, on this Sunday, you have come here at the right opportune time. You've come here on a day when you thought maybe you were going to walk out of here the same way, but I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I don't need everyone to believe that, but I'm telling you, by the help of the Lord, if you believe it, I believe it. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen to where people are going to be healed, delivered, and God is going to mend broken hearts and broken spirits. Now, the scripture says, if we faint not, if we do not become lazy, we cannot become lazy. So that means when the opportune moment comes, and when that opportune moment begins to take place here, don't get lazy. I'm talking about in your spirit. But you come, you move, you believe as you move, and then when we lay hands upon you, God is going to perform a miracle in your life. Can we take a moment, lift our hands right now toward heaven, and just begin to thank God for what he's going to do in advance? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Let me tell you, church, delay doesn't mean denied. I've spoken those words before. Delay doesn't mean denied. And just because there's been a delay in your life, that does not mean God has denied you anything that he has promised to you. When I read in my Bible, delay often and just about every time means revelation. If God is delaying something, it's only because he wants to bring you greater revelation. And I'm telling you that today God is getting ready to give someone greater revelation. Because you thought your delay was going to destroy you. But I'm telling you, your delay is getting ready to elevate you. I feel that in the spirit. That God is getting ready to perform a great work right now. Because right now is due season for someone. Now, those of you, let's stand to our feet.